Happy Tuesday. I thought I would play this song because the garbage truck is actually outside my house.
Mine does not come until Wednesday?
Well, today is recycling day, so they're picking up recycling. It is such a lovely day outside. Do you all hear how happy I sound?
Yeah, my AC kicked on at like 8:30 this morning, so yeah, no.
It is lovely. It is overcast, cloudy, and it is cold in my house.
I'm so jealous.
I like it cold.
Oh. I don't like you right now, Corey.
Don't hate. Don't hate the player, hate the AC.
Woo! Don't hate the player, hate the AC. I know. And my AC is set at like 85, too. So, for it to kick on at 8:30 this morning, no, that is just
85. Oh, no, I can't come to visit you. See, I was all set to visit you. 85, 74 up in this piece.
No.
74 degrees inside my house. Lovely.
Nice. That is very nice. Very nice.
Keep it this way all year round. 74 is a good temperature.
Mm-hmm. 74 is a good temperature.
I have on a shirt, a dress. Fuzzy socks. Look, I'm all bragging. People are at work rolling their eyes.
Fuzzy socks. No, I've got the whole lazy thing going on today, so I'm in yoga pants and a t-shirt and barefoot.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, that's nice. That's so nice. How are you guys doing out there in the Twitter land, the Facebook land, the universe, the digital universe?
How are y'all? Well, I am fine. I'm good. I actually got some decent sleep last night. More than the 2 or 3 hours I've been pulling in, so.
I don't remember going to sleep.
I do. It was about 3 o'clock this morning.
I have no clue when I went to sleep, or when I woke up for that matter. Don't ask me to recollect those things. Yeah. But I'm here, so that's good.
That is good. Mm-hmm. Tonight, I've got a date with the bed. I'm going to go to bed early. I don't care. All my gamer friends, y'all got to leave me alone. I'm going to bed early.
We do not want to hear about your bed escapades. Ginger, this
some
is daytime. This is daytime, Ginger.
It's not like I'm selling video.
You should.
Hot.
All right, lots of juicy, and I do mean juicy news going on today. Delicious.
Mm-hmm. So much.
Go ahead.
So much juicy news. And there we go. My Twitter's being all crazy and stuff.
I love you people out there.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. They know.
All right.
They know.
So shall I go first? Because,
of course,
you know, the Earth is being invaded.
Oh, yes. Oh, really?
Aliens. It's aliens again. Futuremark Game Studio announces Unstoppable Gorge for PC, Xbox Live Arcade, and iPad. So urgent transmission from Echo Station for the attention of President Culver. George Armada leaving
the hell?
In Culver. This is July 19th, 1954. So
that's the telegram that I got in the mail that we posted on the website.
Yes.
You all should have seen that.
So Gorge Armada leaving Planet X, stop. Attack on Earth, imminent, stop. Prepare defenses, stop. Reconnaissance footage and intelligence briefing posted on Spacewire, stop. Oh, yes. So Futuremark Game Studio presents Unstoppable Gorge, a thrilling new space defense game coming to PC, Xbox Live, Arcade, and iPad. In Unstoppable Gorge, you defend our solar system from the relentless march of a fearsome alien race by sending satellites into orbit around planets, moons, and space stations. Unlike other tower defense-style games, in Unstoppable Gorge, you can move your satellites even after you have placed them. When the Gorge Armada attacks, and you can move your satellites around their orbits to best defend against each wave. A convention-defying mechanic that brings new vitality and interaction to the tower defense genre.
You know, I'm starting to like Futuremark. It's been a long time since I received a game promo in the mail that they put so much work into, so I'm keeping this. It's actually still on my desk. Beautiful.
Oh, there's actual video that I missed, but I'm going to put it up on the website right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so... Oh, nice. Wait. Noise. Stop noise.
Stop it. I like you guys, Futuremark. That's old school right there. I like it. Send us more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put this in my bag of stuff We have to get Ginger a bag of stuff. Blaster has a bag of stuff. I got a bag of stuff. I think Snow's got a few things. We got to get Ginger a bag of paraphernalia that you get from game companies. But they don't do much anymore. They're all web-based and stuff. But I have all kinds of little cool things around here that usually they used to send out, you know, before you guys started getting into web-based advertisement. But something I can hold in my hand usually keeps my attention. That's why it's still on my desk, not in the trash.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, I seem to need to restart Firefox because I think it just died on me.
It's all right, girl. I got your back.
YouTube. I hate you, YouTube.
I got your back, girl. I got your back. So lots of interesting things going on this morning. Of course, a lot of you are angry with Netflix, as well you should be. But the people over the big pond, they're pretty happy. They're excited. They're extremely excited because Netflix is expanding to include Spain and the United Kingdom. according to reports at Gamma Sutra and Daily Variety, a few leading European film distributors are reporting that the expansion is planned for the first quarter of 2012. The report comes on top of a Canadian launch for the streaming service last September and planned launches in 43 Latin American and Caribbean countries last year. I'm going to tell y'all now, some people in the Caribbean don't even have TV, so I don't think they'll care if they get Netflix, but hey. What do I know? Netflix, of course, would face stiff competition in the British movie streaming market with Amazon-owned Love Film and arthouse-focused Mubi, both already available on British PlayStation 3s. I see a fight coming. Oh, do you see it? Do you see it, Ginger? Do you see it?
Yes, I do.
They're going to try to come over here, and I'm going to buy them. Okay, so movie streaming on Netflix has become one of the most popular non-gaming uses for modern consoles, with more than 1.5 million Wii owners using the service daily on the Wii alone. A May report found that Netflix streaming through game consoles represented close to 20% of all American internet bandwidth during peak periods. Last January, Netflix credited game console streaming support for its speedy growth. Yes. And, of course, there's comments. People are asking, how about Japan? We don't know. We'll try to find out if we can, but I doubt they'll tell us anything. And, of course, someone else, Sylvester O'Connor over on Gamma Sutra, is saying, and those bastards have the nerve to raise their prices. and this is, I hope everyone knows that we're paying them to take this venture. Well, that's usually the way business works, hon.
Yes.
McDonald's needs to fund a new advertising campaign for a new item on the menu. They raise the price of the Big Mac. And, yeah, that's why the prices move around. It ain't got nothing to do with fluctuations and we had to buy more beef or the cows were dying because it's hot. No, it's not. See, if y'all pay attention when they tell you that BS, there's no cows dying from the heat. They had that on the news. People are taking very good care of their animals. So if they tell you they raise the price because, you know, the heat and the cows are dying, they lie. Mm-hmm. We all know it.
They're liars. How dare they be lying?
It's a bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of lies.
Are you ready to go? Because if not, I got more.
No, I am ready to go. I am ready to go.
Do it.
I think I am. There we go. All right. Develop Awards guest to raise thousands for GameSed.
Yay.
Intent Media brings back Bring a Tenner campaign to Brighton Awards night this Wednesday. Attendees at this Wednesday's Develop Awards in Brighton will be invited to donate towards industry charity GamesAid in a bid to raise over 2,000 euros, pounds, London dollars, whatever the little L sign is, for the charity. A special envelope will be placed on each table at the sellout event, the biggest Develop Awards in its 9-year history, and guests are encouraged to put just £10, euros, whatever, inside on that night. However, those most charitable can donate now online at justgiving.com/Develop Awards 2011 to help the industry's charity, which has been doing fantastic work to help the lives of children and young people. All of the money raised will be accumulated by GamesAid and shared out amongst the organization's chosen charities. Sister event, the MCV Awards 2011, raised more than £4,000, euros, whatever, for the charity. Develop publisher and Intent Media boss Stuart Dinsey says there will be over 550 people from studios all across Europe at the Develop Awards, so this is a great opportunity to raise some cash for GamesAid. We appreciate that times are hard, but hope that this simple Bring a Tenner message will get through and that a good portion of people, attending will do their bit. GamesAid is a pan-industry charity that looks to give funds back to deserving causes on behalf of the UK video games industry as a whole. Even the smallest amount of support makes a difference. They say this week's Develop Awards will be the most attended night in the event's 9-year history, with more than 140 different companies in the room. The event will take place on the evening. Yes, amazing. The event will take place on the evening of Wednesday, July 20th at the Hilton Metropole Hotel in Brighton, UK. Yay, so awesome. Yes, so if you're going, just remember, take a tin with you, throw it in the envelope. It's not hard. It's really simple. And that's awesome. For those of us not going, if you have an extra little bit of money, head over to that link I gave you and donate it.
Yay.
Yay.
Look at how excited we sound.
I know. We're all like, I'm tired today.
Well, I got to tell you guys, I love it. Lunch PR, you're amazing people. Get rid of that music on your site. Okay, so.
You're amazing people, but we hate your music.
I do. I hate their music, which is why I'm not going to tell you about their game just yet until that music is done loading. However, EA, the devil has come to Texas. Ginger.
Really?
Yeah, EA is planning on opening a new studio in Austin, Texas, and they're planning to give 300 new people, jobs across sports, games, and IT and finance operations. The 300 positions will be divided evenly between contract and full-time employees, with the EA Sports team taking over two buildings that are currently home to the Mass Effect developer BioWare. Ooh, I think we'll probably start this first year somewhere around 30 to 35 just to get the team up and moving, just so they can start building features and working on HD platform format. This is from EA Sports COO Daryl Holt in an interview with Joystick. Holt also confirmed that the Austin team wouldn't replace any current EA studio or affect the company's Tiburon or Burnaby studios. This is, we're not going to disrupt what's currently going on. Orlando's expanding. Burnaby's expanding. EA is growing, he said.
I don't know what to think. On one hand, I'm happy they're coming. On the other hand, it's EA.
Hell is always getting bigger. Lots of souls to condemn. Anyways, it's not decided which franchises the team will work on, and as yet no limits have been put on the new studio's growth. He said, but it's not something that's going to be open-ended while we recruit the team, because we want to recruit the right talent. The news announced at the Austin operation was announced at the Austin operation during a visit from local Governor Rick Perry, who we love so much. Yes, that is sarcasm. Mm.
Yes, lots of sarcasm there. Isn't he? He's the one who's pushing for that whole prayer day right now.
I once met him when I was 12, and the day when I got home from meeting him, I met him at a church, and I told my mother he was evil. I was right. that was when I was little. Kids know these things. Superior has created a very pro-business environment. This is from Frank Gibbeau, EA Games president. It helps us to look to Austin as a long-term opportunity. I imagine so. You're right there with all the college kids. Duh. So if it's in the game, it's in the game, Superior. Really? Did he just use the EA Sports?
Oh, my God.
He just really used their tagline. He says, right now, Texas is where the game is being played. Much like the video game industry, our state is built on a foundation of competition, or because we're just better than everybody else. Anyway, EA already employs around 450 people at its Austin studio and will apply for incentives from the Texas Film Commission. Plans for the studio were leaked on an internal memo last month. Well, welcome to Texas, EA. Enjoy the heat.
Yes.
Used to it.
So I was thinking, you know, they're already from hell, so they're probably used to it. They're probably, you know, just hanging out, being all like, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's probably actually cooler here than there.
No, I think that's maybe why it's so hot here. See, that's what's causing the heat wave. Notice around... see, Austin is...
Yeah, you gotta go. If that's true, you gotta go.
I think they brought it with them.
All right, so it looks like we've got more alien invasion going on.
Is it Alien Invasion Day?
Alien Invasion Day or something, I guess.
My Alien Invasion t-shirt today.
Aliens invade Manchester. Namco and THQ to show sci-fi shooters at Manchester Comic Con. Yes, there will be alien killing carnage aplenty at Manchester Central later this month, as Namco and THQ confirm that they will be joining Nintendo in previewing their hottest new games at the Manchester Comic Con. THQ is to preview Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine, a viscerally exciting third-person actioner set in Games Workshop's famous Warhammer 40,000 universe. Due for release on the PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360, Space Marine puts the player in the boots of veteran warrior Captain Titus, as he fights to stem the orc hordes with his bolter and trusty chain sword. Meanwhile, Namco will be showcasing Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon, the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 follow-up to cult shooter Earth Defense Force 2017. The sequel sees the bugs take the fight to the streets of New Detroit, pitting players against swarms of giant insects and massive robots as they engage the alien invaders in even more epic battles. Nintendo has already announced that they will be bringing their Nintendo Unleashed tour to the Manchester Comic Con on the 30th of July, giving visitors the chance to get up close and personal with a host of stunning 3DS games. Awesome. So for those of you that are over there in the Manchester area, want to go to this, I'm not quite for sure whether or not the tickets are already sold out. They haven't said. But you can head over to ManchesterMCMExpo.com/tickets to see if they have any left. And Corey is all muted or something. All right, so something's happened. All right, I'm going to go ahead and grab another one. Hopefully I haven't been dropped.
I'm still here.
Are you still here? Okay.
Very important call. I'll tell you about it later. Okay.
Ooh,
so
very nice.
Steam will get Steam. Wow. Give me a minute here. My blood's racing. Breathe. Okay, actually, I need to tell you about this game before I tell you about Steam, because Ginger may cut me. Isn't Steam on your list?
Yes.
She's going to cut me. All right. Lovely people at Codemasters want you to know that you can pick up the game Grid this week for $4.99. If you're overseas, it's $2.99, francs, quid, starfish, shells, we don't know. But the reason why you want to do this is because it's part of a charity drive. The BAFTA award-winning circuit and streetcar racing game, God, that's long, Grid, will be available for a one-time special offer of the price I just mentioned from Steam later today for a total of 3 days, with all profits from the sales going to industry-supported charities and good causes, which is what Codemasters is announcing today. The PC version of Grid will be available again today for $4.99, they keep saying, through the 21st on Thursday. I'm making sure you're paying attention. Apparently, it's one of the top racing games, supposed to deliver the most powerful selection of cars from the current to the classic, to circuit, to drift. The players can compete and conquer the most prestigious official circuits and race in city-based street competitions. Codemasters, of course, say they recognize that there are so many deserving cases and established charities that perform exceptional work in advancing the well-being of young people and will donate the profits from the charity-driven promotion to good causes. I can't talk. Codemasters will work with existing causes supported by the video game industry called Charity Games Aid, which the website is gamesaid.org, as well as offering support to initiatives through Nesta and the Livingstone Hope Review, nesta.org.uk. Of course, you guys know these are not American charities, but it shouldn't matter. Charity's charity.
Mm-hmm.
The monies, of course, be directed to worthwhile causes. I'm going to need you not to repeat yourself in your PR, people. They're saying this particular charity drive will embrace education, sports, and the disadvantaged and vulnerable in their society, and will clearly demonstrate that video games can make a positive difference to the lives of young people. It says, we aim to support young people who have aspirations and want to develop themselves through knowledge and further education, particularly if it relates to media and technology. In readiness for the opportunities that are open to them in this digital age, this may well take the form of opening up a career in games, in the games industry, and all that it has to offer. So they're hinting at some things.
Very nice.
That they're probably going to do. So, guys, I urge you, go over and pick this up on Steam. It's about $4. It's not that much. It's, you know, really, you can afford $4. You're going to spend that on your Starbucks today. So skip a Starbucks. Help a kid.
Yeah. That's my usual thing right there.
You could buy Starbucks for home, just saying. All right, Ginger, what you got?
I've got some Rusty Hearts. Oh, yes. Oh, giveaway. Perfect World Entertainment announces Rusty Hearts giveaway for PAX Prime. Ooh. All right, so join the multiplayer hack and slash brawler for a chance to win a trip package to the sold-out show. Perfect World Entertainment, announced that the company will be at Penny Arcade Expo Prime, PAX Prime, the highly popular consumer video game show from August 26th to August 28th, 2011. In celebration of Rusty Hearts' debut at this event, gamers will have a chance to bring a friend and win a trip to the sold-out show. Anyone who registers for the Rusty Hearts closed beta before July 27th will be entered in a raffle for a chance to win two PAX Prime 3-day passes. inclusive of 2 round-trip airfares and the opportunity to dine with the producers and developers of Rusty Hearts. Oh, I'm going over there and signing up right now. All right, so all players who have previously registered for a Rusty Hearts account will already be eligible to win. Mark Hill, game producer for Rusty Hearts, says this is a great year for Rusty Hearts to make its debut appearance at Penny Arcade Expo. We cannot wait to interact with Rusty Hearts fans on a personal level, and we hope to get everyone as excited as we are by giving away these 2 passes to the otherwise sold-out show. We have already been looking forward to bringing Rusty Hearts to a gaming-centric consumer event, and I can't wait to see how the PAX crowd reacts to the game. Attendees of the show who visit the booth will also have a chance to win additional prizes, including the limited edition Rusty Hearts plush bears, t-shirts, Logitech keyboards, headsets, and more. All right, so if you want more information on the Rusty Hearts giveaway, you can head over to, actually I'm not going to give you this link, head over to GameNatrix.com, where I've linked it, because this is a long link and I'll end up screwing it up. So GameNatrix.com, and check it out, because it's already over there.
Well, some juicy and delicious news came in late yesterday about a domain name fight. between Activision, possibly EA, and a couple of other people, a new website that's not owned by Activision, and at first glance, it looks like it's dedicated to Modern Warfare 3, is not, according to Ars Technica. The website, or the domain Modern Warfare 3, began directing people to the official Battlefield 3 site, leading some to believe, even Activision, that the site was probably owned by EA. The domain was registered back in 2009 by Domains by Proxy, which is owned by GoDaddy. I didn't know they owned that. I learned something new today. And the owners are currently unknown. You can do that. That hasn't stopped Activision from filing a domain name dispute with the National Arbitration Forum, claiming that it has full rights to the domain for obvious reasons. After garnering a bit of attention, the website offers the following commentary. Modern Warfare 3 is a copy-and-paste experience that looks exactly like Modern Warfare 2. Retracing the conflicts of its predecessor that will take you to major cities across the globe, Activision should spend more time developing their games instead of using massive advertising campaigns to promote an inferior product.
Oh, that is cold.
Ooh.
That is cold.
This is what the site claims before going on to hype EA's common competitor. The site also offers a video, which is up on... Well, we'll pop that up because it's juicy. Got to put it up. In the video basically claims Modern Warfare 3 is a joke. Whoever owns the site hates Activision's flagship shooter with a serious passion. It's doubtful that EA owns it, but if they do, ooh, this is going to get real juicy. Ah, lovely. Isn't that mean and just spiteful?
Yes.
Just love it. We're going to put that up on our page. So those of you who are listening live, you refresh in about 45 seconds or less, and you'll get to take a look at that. Oh, that is juicy and delicious. I love it.
Yes.
I can't believe it. Oh, that's the kind of fight I like. Just dirty. Just punch them. Just you're going to do it right.
Do it right.
Do it right.
All right. Oh, my God. Saving Private Sheep, now available on the Mac.
No.
Yes. All right. So, cool AAA physics-based game from Bulky Pix takes gamers through 200 levels of mayhem fun. Yes. All right. So, Bulky Pix today announced that its distinctive action puzzle game, Saving Private Sheep, is now available on Mac. Saving Private Sheep has been a favorite game, with games since it launched. Since it launched, has a huge following with over 700,000 gamers worldwide dutifully engaged in this war between sheep and wolves. Oh my God. Saving Private Sheep is a physics-based puzzler in which you have to save sheep from wolves by tapping various wooden objects in a scene and blowing them up to try and land the pentagonal sheep safely on the ground. The Mac version of the game features over 200 brain-busting puzzles, 50 of which are exclusive to the Mac platform. A high amount of detail has been paid to the design of the characters and environments. Every avatar is displayed as a cartoon caricature. While the scenery is accurately physically modeled to create an unlimited variety of explosive fun. Easy-to-learn controls combined with a steady difficulty progression rewards gamers possessing accuracy, skill, and patience. All right, so the MSRP of Saving Private Sheep is $9.99. Anyone who wants to dive into this hugely addictive game can download it from the App Store. And there's actually a link to it, to the App Store area where you can get it. But, yeah, I'm not going to give that to you. Go over to GameAndMatrix.com. Check it out, because it's one of those horrible, confusing links. So, GameAndMatrix.com. I've also got some screenshots up for you, which they are hilarious and beautiful. This is really well done for being a silly little game like this.
Wow. You know, that happened to me the other night. Found an interesting game on the iPad called Pocket Frogs.
Yeah, I've been playing beer pong on my Android, so...
I'm telling you, I'm addicted to the Pocket Frogs, because y'all know I love that digital DNA stuff. You know, when you made them, try to get different ones. Yeah, I'm addicted. All most of the day yesterday, I had the iPad in one hand, doing the stuff with the other hand. Not what you're thinking either, bad people. All right. So, apparently, there's some sharing going on. People are sharing the love. Facebook is sharing ad revenue with Zynga. Isn't that sweet?
That is.
This is from our peeps over at Games. Ouch. Bless you or something.
Excuse me. I was trying to find the mute button and couldn't, like, rip the headphones off my head and was trying to cover the mic.
It sounded like somebody was beating you up. I was like, oh, God, call help.
Sorry. No. It was me trying to find the mute button.
It got sent to bless her, poor baby.
Stupid allergies.
It's almost over. 2 more months. We'll be okay. You can do it.
Yes.
All right, well, for the first time, social game maker Zynga has disclosed that it has a revenue-sharing deal with social networking site Facebook over advertising revenue next to its in-browser Facebook games. The company's made the disclosure in a filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission. I'm going to see if we can grab a copy of that, but probably not. In the filing, the company quotes Facebook's sharing deal as follows. Each month during the term for all properties on which you implemented during the previous month, the Facebook ad unit will pay you a percentage of net revenue, ad share, arising from such properties for the previous month. The company did not disclose what percent of the ad revenue it receives from Facebook for running ads next to its games like Farmville and Empire Allies. According to the initial S-1 filing, the company made $22.8 million off of advertising revenue last year. Damn. Most of its revenue came from the sale of virtual goods. It made $575 million off the sale of those goods in 2010. Facebook takes a 30% share of all transactions that use Facebook credits, similar to revenue sharing program Apple runs with its App Store sales. So it isn't clear whether Facebook is getting a larger amount of money by facilitating Zynga's sales of virtual goods or by sharing revenue from advertising with the company. Zynga has agreed to exclusively use Facebook credits in a number of its games, assuming they continue to meet certain growth targets. The games included in the exclusivity agreement are Petville, Farmville, Treasure Island, Cafe World, Mafia Wars, Yeovil, Live Poker, Fishville, and all other covered Zynga services. Cityville as well, and Empire and Allies are absent from the list. And it isn't clear from the filing whether those covered in the last blanket statement in the exclusivity agreement. The exclusivity agreement lasts for 5 years per agreement, according to the filing. Zynga is also basically left hanging if the system that handles Facebook credit goes offline for any reason, and it can only sell gift cards that are converted into Facebook credits directly, according to the filing. Zynga filed an initial public offering early this month. Its most profitable Web 2.0 company to file for an IPO this year, making about $90 million in 2010. The company made a net profit of $11.8 million in the first quarter this year, compared to $6.4 million in the first quarter of last year. Zynga has raised $845 million across 3 rounds of funding for 4 years. Good God. The company has since become a Facebook distribution powerhouse like no other game company. That makes it a lot easier for Zynga to generate revenue. Since a percentage of users usually pay for items in otherwise free games, the company has delivered hit after hit to Facebook. Zynga's latest social game, Empires and Allies, is another hit for the company. It attracted more players than Farmville, its first breakout hit, in just 25 days. It is an interesting kind of a tower defense thing. You're GLaDOS. Empires and Allies is gaining new users at a rate of 1 million a day and 8 million a week now. This is according to App Data. The company is the fourth high-profile Web 2.0 company to file to go public in the past several months. Business social network like LinkedIn has already made its debut on the New York Stock Exchange, soaring to a value of nearly $9 billion during its first year of trading before backpedaling to a $100 share price. Group buying site Groupon filed to go public early this month. I'm wondering how Google Plus is going to affect all of this.
I don't know. I'm GLaDOS. My thing finally stopped spinning.
Yeah, you're not GLaDOS anymore.
Goodbye. Awesome. Not got a clue how it's going to affect things.
I think this is going to be really interesting to see if Zynga is able to hold on to this top spot once you know, Google Plus is out of beta. And that's the other thing. I need to stress this in people. I was on my Google Plus yesterday. A lot of you are complaining about it. It's in beta. How many times do I have to tell you people? Beta means things are going to work. They're not going to work.
It's going to be broken. It's okay.
It's okay. It's supposed to be broken. What you're supposed to do when you're in beta is not brag, I got into Google Plus. Ha ha. You're supposed to be reporting those things so that they get fixed. And if it's something that you don't like, or you notice someone was complaining there was they weren't able to set privacy settings, those are things you need to tell them. You tell them the privacy settings are not working or they're simply not there, and that's when they put them in. That's what happens when you do beta. I'm going to do a beta guide one of these days.
You should, because some of these people are, yeah.
You're not doing what you're supposed to do. If you're not going to do it right, then don't get into beta. It's not a status symbol. It really
is. Are you sure? Really?
You're supposed to get in and help test. And, yes, you can put that on your resume. Did you know you could do that if you actually help test? That's if you find something good and they fix it. Then you're supposed to put that on your resume.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interested to see how companies like Zynga are going to survive when there will be a mass exodus. And for a while, it'll be 50-50. And if Plus is able to pull out some things that Facebook can't, and they are already, because I've seen some pretty interesting features that I actually like, then I think there's going to be a mass exodus. Facebook is going to have to come up with something. And I noticed this revenue sharing is something that Google does. I wonder if that's why they're starting to do that. And will it be available to everybody? Will it be available to people like us? Maybe I'm a little publisher. Maybe I want to earn a little AdSense money, to use Google's term for it. I want to earn a little AdSense money on the side.
That would be nice. That would be very nice.
It's very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What you got, Ginger? What you got?
I have got the IVDC. Oh, yes. All right. So the Italian Video Game Developers Conference and Cartoons on the Bay, Plurennial Strategical Partnership. All right. That's weird. All right. So IAMI, the Italian Association for the Interactive Multimedia Movement for the Video Game Culture, is proud to announce that next year the IVDC will take place together with the Cartoons on the Bay. Cartoons on the Bay and IVDC will maintain their independence in their organization, but thanks to a perennial partnership that is being decided these days, they will create a series of editorial synergies in order to maximize the effect and effectiveness of the two important events. Marco Accordi Rickards says, "We are very happy to build this partnership between the IVDC, our most important event with a festival of European importance like the Cartoons on the Bay of RAI." All right. Oh, and I should have finished giving you his title. Marco is the president of AOMI and director of the IVDC. IVDC and Cartoons on the Bay will create together the most important event in Italy for the culture of animation, media, and video games. The IVDC 2012 will be preceded by a one-day meeting in Rome next December that will take place in the University of Rome Tor Vergata. The IVDC 2012 preview. IOMI will announce the first details about the IVDC 2011-12 preview in the next weeks. Awesome. So apparently this is kind of like, I'm not quite for sure. I would say like, I don't know. So what is this, E3 for Italy? GDC for Italy.
Sounds like it is.
Yeah. Awesome. Didn't know y'all had that. That's great.
Then I had to sneeze. Thanks a lot, Ginger.
Bless you.
Thanks, Shanja.
I know. I'm horrible. I'm all contagious and stuff.
Yes, she's spreading it through the internet.
Yes, I am that talented, people. That talented.
You know, it's going to happen. It's going to happen where viruses are spread through the internet. It's going to happen. Not in our lifetime, though, but it's happening. I'm glad I'll be dead.
Glad she's going to be dead. No.
I hope so. Please let me be dead when that happens. Okay, so the proposed Australian R18 plus rating is facing mm-hmm. some delays. This is from GI Biz this morning. The introduction of the R18 rating
for Australia to allow the release of more adult games is due to be discussed this coming Friday. It could be delayed in the face of one state attorney's general position. Greg Smith, the New South Wales Attorney General, will abstain from the vote. The proposed R18 plus rating needs a unanimous decision to progress. According to GameSpot Australia, Smith could abstain until as late as next year in order to see a report from the Australian Law Reform Commission on the introduction of the rating. He says, we're not going down a definitive route. This is one of his reps said. He says, more work needs to be done on this issue, and we want to wait to see the results of the ALRC classification review. There are also reports from South Australia Attorney General John Rowse, a spokesperson, that the state plans to abolish the lower MA15 plus rating, forcing the ratings boards to classify those games as R18. Both marketeers and opposition have criticized the move. He says, I think it would be bizarre if they were to go it alone. This is from South Australian opposition justice spokesman Stephen Wade. This is in an interview he did with The Australian. He said it would clearly be an unfair impost on South Australian retailers at a time, and we're very aware of the competition between the online retail maker and the shopfront retail market. Australia's strict rules have led to a number of games being refused classification altogether, including Left 4 Dead 2 and Mortal Kombat. You guys are going to make games become like this underground black market paraphernalia if you keep doing that. The people will get their games. That's just all I got to say.
Yes.
If they want them, they'll get them. By any means necessary.
Mm-hmm. Any means necessary. Mm. Oh, yes. All right. So what have I got now? I've got a Batman Arkham City's Collector's Edition revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Warner Bros. I cannot talk now. Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and DC Entertainment today unveiled details and images for this autumn's hotly anticipated Batman Arkham City Collector's Edition.
Woot!
Mm-hmm. The package will be available in limited qualities beginning the 21st of October 2011 in the UK for the Xbox 360 video game and entertainment system for the for the 360, PlayStation 3, and games for Windows PC. The Batman Arkham City Collector's Edition will be included in the The Batman Arkham City Collector's Edition will include the following extensive bonus content: custom Batman statue produced by Kotobukiya, collectible art book, early access to the Iceberg Lounge challenge map and Batman the Dark Knight Returns skin, Batman Arkham City album from Water Tower Music, including original songs by hit artists available via digital redemption, bonus DC Universe animated original movie, Batman Gotham Knight, assets, so y'all don't want that, head over to GameNatrix.com and check out the picture for all of this. I've got it up, Corey got it up. And it's beautiful. They got all kinds of awesomeness.
Whoop.
Awesome sauce.
Is it? Is it really?
Mm-hmm, that statue? Oh, yes. Oh, it's pretty awesome.
Well, I asked a question just a moment ago about Google Plus challenging Facebook and blah, blah, blah. But apparently that's not the immediate threat. It's Amazon.
Amazon.
Yes, the question is being asked over at GameSpeed. Is Amazon going to challenge Zynga in social games? Amazon's recent hire of veteran games designers suggests that, yes, they are. They're about to do some bum-bum smacking.
Bum-bum smacking? Oh, my God.
The designer, John Tweed, is presumably working on a social game for Amazon. Now, Amazon.com hasn't announced the game, and a tweet has said very little about it, except for an entry on his own, that's, again, Jonathan Tweet, on his own LinkedIn profile, where he's now listed as a game designer producer at Amazon.
Ooh.
And Tweet, yes, that's his real name, Jonathan Tweet, has confirmed his role at Amazon to industry gamers as well. Amazon declined to comment to VentureBeat any further. Of course, Amazon has made some very interesting moves in this direction recently. Back in May, the company opened its app store for Android apps and launched its own mystery thriller book publishing imprint, Thomas & Mercer. These moves suggest that Amazon is willing to create its own unique content. Ooh-hoo. Delicious. Okay, so Tweet, of course, is a paper and pencil role-playing game designer. He made contributions to the third edition of Dungeons & Dragons years ago. He created role-playing games such as Ars Magica and Everway. Some of you
out there are clapping along. Yes, yes, I know. He most recently worked at Real Networks Game House on a variety of Facebook games. Amazon previously participated in the game business when it purchased Reflexive Entertainment in October 2008. Reflexive makes downloadable games such as Big Kahuna and Airport Mania 2, which I got hooked on for a couple of days.
A couple of days.
I had to leave it. Amazon sells those games through its digital services division, but it's been a small player in the digital distribution of games in comparison to Valve Steam. Since Amazon is also rumored to be working on tablets, yes, I said tablets, Industry Gamer said it believes that any new games will be launched on the tablet later this year. I see this becoming a massive fight and didn't see it coming for some odd reason. I didn't. But, ooh.
It's going to be hot.
Ooh, I say by October, it's going to get all kinds of hot up in here. It'll be fall, but it'll be smoky.
Yeah.
Going to be amazing.
Yeah.
You got 3 minutes? Do you got time to stick it in there? Stop it, Ginger.
Yes, I do. All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning, looks like they pulled it from TechCrunch. You were just talking about Google Plus and advertising. The perils of advertising Google Plus on Facebook.
Juicy. Tell us.
Sometimes when you get too bold, the powers that be give you a slap across the face. The powers that be in this case are the folks over at Facebook, who taught one developer who placed a series of Google Plus ads on Facebook a serious lesson. Hot. App developer Michael Lee Johnson wanted more people to add him on Google+, so he decided to create an ad and put it on Facebook. The ad featured a headshot of the developer and text asking people to join his Google+ circle. The ad reads, "If you're lucky enough to have a Google+ account, add Michael Lee Johnson, internet geek, app developer, technological virtuoso." But what Johnson did not know was that his ad violated Facebook's TOS. You should always read that TOS. It's going to get you. As a result, Facebook deleted the pro-Google Plus ad and then proceeded to delete the rest of his ad campaigns. Later, the social network informed the young developer of the policy violation. Johnson lamented on Google Plus about what had happened to him. He says, "I recently ran a Google Plus advertisement on Facebook that got all of my campaigns suspended. Great." All right, so the article goes on to say, right or wrong, Johnson's situation should serve as a cautionary tale for those that want to advertise non-Facebook services such as Google Plus in an ad. It could get you kicked off of Facebook. That is awesome. Way to go! That is awesome.
I knew somebody was going to do it. I was waiting to see.
Oh, that is delicious.
That means the fight is on. Y'all know that, right? The fight is on.
The fight is on. And that is just hilarious that he would do it on Facebook. Oh, my God.
He is like Paul Revere. Shot heard around the world. All right, guys. It is time for us to take a quick break. However, after the break, I got some interesting news. Did you know Microsoft was getting into medicine?
I did not know that.
Yes, something about the health vault. I'll tell you about that after we take us a quick little bit of it.
You know what it is.
Yes, Link, talk to me, baby. Now, for our new listeners, and we have a few apparently, according to my boss, get Twitter messages, we're about to go into non-streaming portion. Don't panic. You can download and hear the rest later. Or you can go over to GamerNation.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, listen to news from yesterday, from 2 years ago, 5 minutes ago, whatever it is you like. Read the news, stalk Ginger.
Those people who've been poking me on Facebook, oh my God, I got like a ton of people poking me. I'm returning them. Give me a minute.
Yeah, there. They want you to return them.
I poke you. I poke you so hard.
Oh, hey! You know, what's up with you today?
It's today.
No, you're usually the good one. It's snow we have to watch.
I think so. It's rubbed off on me.
I believe so. Just all kinds of bad. My leg is numb. Okay, so.
All right.
Leg, I said leg. See, you just went somewhere bad. Bad ginger.
No, I didn't. I swear I didn't. I was just like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, as promised, I have some interesting news from Microsoft. Well, it's actually some good news for people in the health care industry. Despite Google's going to be ending its presence or ending its endeavors in the healthcare industry, Microsoft announced yesterday that it's going to be ramping up its efforts to boost web-based health records, a web-based health records platform. The company is trying to attract the former Google Health users and developers to port their data over to the Health Vault. Google Health will be discontinued as of January of next year, January 1st. And Microsoft, of course, is saying they're much better suited to take on the standardization of health records, and it's more natural role for Microsoft than Google. And I believe Mr. Jason Moore of StratSan is right. He says a company that provides web-based analytics services to clients he's from StratSan, and they're a company that provides web-based analytics services to clients in the healthcare industry. He says so many in the healthcare world have spent majority of their careers as .NET, which is Microsoft's aging software framework. God, is it old. Moore said, noting that Microsoft already has a long relationship with third-party developers, which is great. StratSan, which has funding from TN Invesco, I'm going to say that wrong. Yeah, I know him. They're a fund that's associated with Clayton Associates and Michael Burcham. Encounters many healthcare companies that are still very much entrenched in the .NET. They're kind of like the police in that way. They're very behind when we really want our medicine to be advanced, really. Using the direct project messaging protocols established by the Office of the National Coordinator of Health IT, Google Health users can transfer their records to Health Vault between now and January 1st, 2013. Microsoft is clearly not wasting a moment during the window of opportunity to grow its platform. Currently, the Health platform has 300 third-party applications and 70 different medical devices like blood pressure monitors, blood glucose monitors, and others. Third-party developers of Google Health applications wishing to port over to the Health Vault can find documentation, reference materials, and software development kit via the Microsoft Developer Network. And I was sharing this because I have a whole gang of nurses in my family. When I say gang, I mean I love, during the holidays, I have never felt safer in a room. I know if I pass out, die, well, not die, but, you know, pass out, alcohol poisoning or food poison, I am fine.
Yes. That is always nice.
So I think that's very interesting. I didn't know Google was in that, and I don't think they should have been. I really think that's probably an area it is better suited to Microsoft, the tools and things that they have at their disposal. Even basic Office is good, you know, to use as a healthcare profession. Just keep up with your patients. A nice spreadsheet that updates. Mm-hmm. Anyway, good luck with that, Microsoft. That's a good thing you're doing.
That is a good thing.
And I'm going to share that somewhere. I don't know where. I'm going to share it on Google+. Why not?
All right. Talking about good things, by the way, GamePolitics.com, be a budget hero. This is just in. All right, so while Congress struggles to come to a consensus on raising the debt ceiling and balancing the out-of-control federal budget, perhaps someone on the Internet can do a better job.
Uh-oh.
A new Flash game called Budget Hero puts that lofty challenge in the hands of Internet users everywhere. There's a lengthy FAQ explaining much of the game's deeper components, but most of the interesting aspect of the game is how it models the budget in the first place for the purposes of turning the issue into a game, and how it forecasts federal revenues. All right, so from the FAQ, how does Budget Hero model the federal budget? The game relies primarily on the budget model and forecast in the Congressional Budget Office, the CBO, long-term budget outlook. We group together the CBO budget categories into fewer building categories to simplify the game. The CBO provides specific budget forecasts for the next 10 years and then makes assumptions about growth after the 10-year period based on economic and inflation forecasts. The CBO assumes continuation of current law, even the political debate does not. Specifically, the CBO assumes Bush tax cuts and other provisions signed in law in 2001 and 2003 expire in December 2012, even though that's, politically speaking, highly unlikely. If you play no cards, Budget Hero shows how today's government commitments and plans will affect the budget in the future. As players select policy cards and baseline budget, the baseline budget is adjusted to reflect year-by-year increases or decreases in spending. Some cards, like withdrawing troops from Iraq, may increase spending in the next few years before they lead to savings in later years. All right, so how does the Budget Hero forecast government revenue? They say our model forecasts the federal government's income statement. On the revenue side, this includes money from individual and corporate income taxes, Social Security, Medicare taxes, and other taxes, assumptions about the nation's economic outputs as measured by its gross domestic product, the GDP, drive how these revenue amounts are calculated. Through 2021, we rely on the CBO's assumptions for GDP growth. Beyond 2021, we have used the guidance of both the CBO and Federal Reserve Bank to grow GDP in the range of 2 or 3% annually. Awesome. So if you think you can do a better job than everybody else, all the politicians, and if you think you have an idea or, you know, whatever, you want to give your hand a try at this, head over to foolocracy.com, foolocracy.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going over there.
No, fine.
I want to see what it's about, a political game. I want to see what's hidden. All right, so, we're doing so great with the news today. Aren't you guys proud of us? We got lots of news in for you guys.
We do have lots of news in today.
Lots and tons and tons, and we haven't even touched on a lot of, we did good. Okay, so, we didn't get to steam, and I left it for you, so I'm taking it back, Ginger.
Okay.
Well, Valve has announced that its digital distribution platform, Steam, is getting an upgrade.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, to make it faster and with smaller downloads and overhauled content system. The first game to take advantage of the system's new features will be upcoming online fantasy strategy RPG game DOTA2.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
The maximum aggregate bandwidth of the system will be greater than the current system. This will help us satisfy spikes in demand when there's a big release. This is turning bad. Valve stated on its official release site, Ginger, stop it. We will be able to
say a thing.
You were thinking it. I could hear that. This will also be able to send content from more places to better serve people around the globe. Valve also claims that the new system will allow the company to add new features to Steam in the future, such as download scheduling, bandwidth throttling. Thank you. Prioritizing downloads and update downloads while playing a game. Hopefully this new system will turn an 8-hour download into something less time consuming. Here's to hoping.
Yes, here is to hoping.
Well, somebody is suggesting something interesting and said they don't understand why they don't use the torrent technique, which takes advantage of people who have bandwidth to spare. For instance, you guys know how torrents work. Don't pretend like you don't.
What's a torrent? No.
I don't know. I never used a torrent. You liar. You right there with the 400 games you downloaded last night. Liar.
Liar. Your pants are on fire.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that idea because those of us who are on Comcast who are apparently trying to cap our internet would like the ability to be able to borrow somebody else's bandwidth that has a little extra to get our game downloaded. Let's all work together.
Mm. Yes. Let's all work together.
Let's all work together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to play this game. You talk while I play this game.
Okay, all right. Xbox 360 delivers the fun to Comic-Con International 2011 with exclusive blockbusters and hotly anticipated Kinect experiences. Oh, yes. As legions of aspiring superheroes strap on their capes for the 41st annual Comic-Con International, Xbox 360 is set to take San Diego by storm with Gears of War 3, Halo, Kinect Star Wars, Kinect Sports Season 2, Dance Central 2, and sizzling lineup of other Xbox 360, Kinect, Xbox Live Arcade, games for Windows, and Windows Phone titles. In addition to 5 panels featuring the creative minds behind some of the games industry's most iconic franchises, the Microsoft booth, number 5252, is offering fans their first hands-on experience with the new Horde mode in the most anticipated console exclusive of 2011, Gears of War 3. Fans can also visit the Xbox Lounge at the Hard Rock Hotel on Saturday and Sunday, July 23rd and 24th, to get an early taste of a slew of eagerly awaited Kinect and Xbox 360 titles. All right, so what all are we going to see? The Xbox 360 booth. Don't miss this rare opportunity to get your first hands-on with Horde mode in the most anticipated juggernaut of the year, Gears of War 3. With groundbreaking innovations like boss battles, upgradable fortifications, more diverse waves and enemies, and a deeper player progression system, Horde in Gears of War 3 is poised to set a new standard for cooperative multiplayer action. So gather your brothers in arms and get ready to take the fight to the Locust Horde. All right, the Xbox Lounge at the Hard Rock Hotel, which is, you know, what I'm all excited about if I were there. Gamers looking for the hottest action off the show floor can get early hands-on experiences with an array of the hottest upcoming titles for Xbox 360, Xbox Live Arcade, and games for Windows, including Kinect Sports Season 2, Dance Central 2, The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim, Batman Arkham City, Rise of Nightmares, The Gunstringer, and Age of Empires. Looks like there's also a Kinect Star Wars panel, a Kinect Star Wars and LucasArts booth, Gears of War 3 panel, Xbox 360 at Nerd HQ and Gears of War 3 panel and signing, writing and video games, yada-da-da-da, Halo Universe panel, yay! Yes, there and play again video games to comics. So, yes, looks like there is all kinds of fun stuff going on with the Xbox 360 at Comic-Con International. And if you're going, I'm so jealous. Take pictures. Send them to me. Thank you.
Okay, I am not finding this Budget Hero game, and it looks like, at this point, speculation on my part, but it looks like this guy is just using this as a way to get people to his very antiquated site. So if I find out that's the truth, you guys know, I'll be telling you about it later. All right.
That's not good. It better not be.
You don't mess with the gamers, guys. It's not smart. Don't tell me there's a game there and there's no game fighting. All right. Well, it is that time for us to get out of here, lovely people.
It is that time.
Going to go out and enjoy the rain. I think I will sit on the porch and breed frogs. Pretty little purpley polka-dotted frogs.
Very nice. Very nice.
So you guys know where to find us. We'll see you. When will we see them again? Tomorrow, I guess.
Tomorrow, Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Same bad time, same bad channel.
You know it.
Ginger will be good tomorrow, maybe.
Maybe.
Ginger, be nice.
I'm always nice.
Mm-hmm.
I come and go, was waiting for the world to end.
Jen.
Later, boys and girls.